You're talking shit, but a hell of it. Addicted to betrayal, but you're relevant. Hey bitches, welcome back to That's the Worst, the Unpopular Opinion Podcast. We are your hosts, Kev and IE, and we have a lot of opinions that are, well, unpopular. Hey Kev.
Hey Lizzie, how are you?
Oh wow, back to Lizzie. Lizzie.
I have a TikTok idea for us, and it definitely is in line with one of our topics today, because have you seen the viral sound of JoJo Siwa on the red carpet where she's like, they're like, who's your dream podcast host? And she goes, oh, let's make it spicy. One of my exes. And it's like, what is wrong with you? Like, why are you this?
I haven't heard that sound, but I
like, let's get one of our exes on the, that's the worst. I think.
Ooh, let's get. Gypsy Rose.
Oh,
your own Gypsy Rose.
Oh, how about Smooch? We gotta get Smooch on here too.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely an X for sure.
Ex-wives. Okay, this is a very, very important episode, because I want everybody to just take a moment to know that this is the 10-year anniversary of Shrek the Musical. At yep. the Academy, Meadville Academy Theater, April 2014. And I want you to know that without that musical, without Shrek, that we would not be here today. You know what I mean? Like, this That's podcast true. Would not be here today. I'm 100% sure of it.
Our friendship would have never reached, do you think?
How could it have? Like, how could it have? Because know. The thing
I mean,
is
we were
that...
still, like, decent friends.
Oh, we were so close, but here's the thing. Yeah. We did so many like group activities. Like, we were always with somebody or drinking or going to the bar or something. Like, that
drinking?
Was just
really
dedicated time. Like, you and me literally sitting there, like, singing fucking songs every yeah. day. Like, that was, and that's just something that, like, people will never be able to take that away from us. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
That was like this bond that we have that will never be severed.
Yeah. No, it really is.
Even
it's
though
like deeply rooted.
Right. Even though the dragon from the musical deleted us on Facebook, that's fine. That even that cannot. Like,
yeah. Even though we thought we were down. Like really close friends with her, you know,
like when you came back the next year, like we hung out with them more than anybody who went to Allegheny College. Like, the thing is, when you go back for reunion weekend, like, you had better go down to the academy.
Maybe I'll see them.
Well, Julia's there. Julia still works there. Like, that, which is like, that's crazy. But, you know, it is fun. I mean,
kind of jealous, honestly. Like, if I worked there, I would actually like my job.
Well, it would be, first of all, it would be time consuming. That's what I remember about that thing is, like, we would leave that person
and
be like, Jesus Christ.
And it was like long hours into the night.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't know how we did it, but I'm glad we did it.
Definitely.
I was trying to like explain, because Lou just does not understand theater.
Oh, okay.
And just like what my and I'm like, it was like being in theater was like some of the best experiences of my life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I don't know. It's just such a bonding thing. Like, aside like, from like actually doing it, it's such a like unifying experience.
Right. Well, here's the thing, and speaking of, my cousin Missy just texted me, because she would know about the theater experience as well, but she's going to see Chapel Roan tonight. I guess she's in Pittsburgh. It's like this, have you heard of her, like this new Gen Z artist that everybody's loving? She did a Tiny Desk concert. Anyway,
I don't know.
When I was in high school, I thought I couldn't be in musicals because I didn't want to be gay. So that's number one. Number two, like, you always kind of felt like the people doing musicals were like stupid or like dorky and stuff. And they were so into it. You never understood like why they were so into it. It is something.
It's a cult. It's a literal cult.
That you cannot understand unless you're inside the cult. You literally have to be in the cult to understand why the cult is happening.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's where the conversation started, because Lou asked me, he was like, what's the closest thing you've ever been in to a, like the closest to like a cult that you've ever been? And I was like, definitely what?
I was going to say, were you going to say like Alice in Wonderland?
No, just the like
theater in general. I was gonna say kind of Alpha Phi Omega, like with our like robes and shit. Like some of that was like kind of weirdly, and we would just like sing songs and like when we all held hands in a circle and stuff. Like just the weird like
I didn't even know what any of that meant.
Well, right. We didn't like if you asked just, why like, do you do this for a service fraternity, like that all could have been like an email. That's the thing with that service fraternity. Like it could have just been like, here are volunteer opportunities. You can go do them. And then those like
big weekly meetings, you know,
chapter.
It was like meetings. It was like a whole ordeal.
Like you had a gavel. Like who, like, like what was
the point that's fine. I ruined it anyway. So. Yeah.
I'm glad you'll be able to go back to see the ruins of all of your work at Allegheny at the Alpha Phi Omega, and then you can go down to the Academy Theater.
Yeah, I wonder if there's an Alpha Phi Omega
mixer.
Touch point. Yeah.
Well, touch point. Well, I bet. I bet that's a big like group of people that donates a lot of money, I'm sure, because of their love for service and giving back to the community.
I donate to the college as well. What was our chapter called? Sigma chapter or something?
I have no idea.
I donate to the chapter.
Chi Sigma? Was it Chi Sigma?
Oh, yeah. Chi Sigma. Yeah. That's it. Lafayette College. Founded.
I guess that was the real genesis of our friendship. But then the Shrek the Musical thing. I mean, and it was just
being on the board.
It was it's something also about like to go back to theater, going from nothing and creating this like magical experience. Like those first few days where it was just us and a bunch of screaming kids and like these scripts and like nobody knew how to sing and like blah, blah, blah.
Well, especially I think it was so funny because like you had never been in a show and like I had a gist of what was going on. Like it had been a long time, but like I'm like, yeah, this is normal. Like. And it was crazy because like coming from one place to another, it was like a pretty similar experience.
Right. All the verbiage and terminology.
Yeah. I knew like my stage left, like downstage, upstage.
Whoa. Yeah.
So one day I will make it back onto a stage. It hasn't happened yet, but
I'm excited for it to happen. It will definitely happen. The other thing
I
is like this
start my own theater.
The singing part of it is like difficult. Like that's what people don't understand. Yeah. I thought you just sang songs and like were fun, but that's what I did in Shrek. I didn't hit any of the notes I was supposed to probably. And then when we got to Cinderella and that bitch was like, you better hit those notes. I was like, what?
Yeah,
are
you
notes?
had to be like, it's not just everybody sings a song. It's like you have to sing alto, soprano.
But I feel like with Shrek, we just sang because it was like, who cares? It's a bunch of kids and shit. Like nobody like.
I sang my parts.
I don't remember a single part that I remember to go low. That was my only thing. Like go low. That was it.
When they go low, we go low.
Meanwhile, Lizzie's like on the perfect like key of A or whatever. Like.
Probably not. But anyway, it was so much fun.
10 years ago. Maybe we'll post some throwback pictures.
We'll never stop talking about it.
No, of course not. I mean, if you attended the 5-year anniversary party of this podcast, you got basically the entire show like done for you.
Yeah. How did that work with you with swimming? When was swimming over?
It was over in February.
So that's why it worked.
Yeah.
They did cross because I remember there were some rehearsals toward the beginning that you couldn't go to, but it was like fine because it wasn't that into it yet.
I think we were cast like around Christmas and then they started a little bit in January, but then a lot in February, March.
Which was fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like theoretically you could have done the spring show every year probably.
In college. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We should have done it.
What were the other ones? Les Mis? Or was that a spring one? Or was that in the fall?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that one.
I don't know if we would be cut out for Les Mis.
No, what? It's so, like, depressing. What do I want to do Les Mis
Good
for?
Good music, though.
Jeez, Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, I can't remember. That's one of the only other ones I went to.
Yeah, same.
And that's because that girl was in it. I was like, I want to support my brother.
Yeah. It's so funny though, because Shrek the Musical should be literally Tony Award winning, and it's now going viral on TikTok with the "Are you there, God?
I love
it's
it.
Me, Fiona." That was going to be Lizzie's people, like step in role.
Universally, like people really love Shrek, like the Shrek movie. So it makes sense that it would be, and like Sutton Foster's having like big revamp. Although I think that's Sweeney Todd is ending soon, or like she'll be done soon. I think it was only until like April.
Here's the thing about theater for me, like it really does take me a while to get into new shows. Like it's all the Tonys every year, like, oh, Shucked, and like, you know, whatever else was like nominated for Tonys. Like there are always these like new up and coming things. Like Hillary Clinton has her Suffs musical out now, and like the Notebook musical.
Hillary Clinton has a musical?
Yeah, it's called Suffs. And they just did the Broadway like pre-shows, I think, and now they're gonna go to.
If there's one person who loves the theater, it's Hillary Clinton. She's always there.
And good for her, because we love it too. But here's the issue, i.e., it's Lin-Manuel Miranda is the issue.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So she's like a producer, I think. It's about suffragettes, and so she's a producer, and he, I think, did some of the music for it. But they just did kind of their pre-shows, but she was there last night at the show, and she's done like interviews and stuff for it. So,
look, that's at a her, new musical produced by Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah. Love, I mean, she could win a Tony, literally.
Oh my gosh.
Then she would have a that's Grammy amazing. And a Tony, and we just need to get her an Oscar and a,
is Lin-Manuel in it?
No, I think it's all women in it, but I think he like, did he make the music maybe or something? He was there last night.
I'm not seeing his name on this list. Oh,
okay. Well, that's good. Maybe he was just there to like support it last night or something.
Yeah, it was, the book, music, and lyrics are by Shayna Taub.
Okay.
So now I like it better because
he's not in it.
He's not associated. I don't know why I hate him so much, but he just really pisses me off.
I know. Well, maybe our next New York trip we'll have to throw in a Suffs visit, because people are saying that maybe that'll be up for some Tonys next year.
Cool. Oh my god, what if she were in the audience?
She goes all the time. Like she's always at some show or another. And the funniest part is like she's always in like row HH seat 27. You know what I mean? Like she's just in the middle. Yeah.
She's just she wants to be part of the people, you know?
Well, especially when she goes with Bill, it's like, couldn't you guys get like a box or something? Like, I don't know. It's like, you're just sitting. I mean, imagine you sit down next to her.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Every time we go to a Broadway show, we're freaking five drinks in. And so if you sat down and Hillary Clinton was right next to you, like, what would you do? You wouldn't even be able to speak.
I would sob, I think. I would have a fit. It would be so bad.
When we went to see Wicked over the holidays, like, I thought Lizzie was, like, in a comatose or something. Like, I kept being like, are you okay over there? And you were just like staring, like no words. I think
was just like a little drunk and like mesmerized.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I've never seen like that up close to a Broadway show before.
I think I was like so in shock that we were that close.
Like you could actually see the people like running around and stuff. It was crazy.
You could literally like
see their mouth,
like a pimple on their face.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I remember, like, it was cool to be able to, like, you could hear their actual voice coming out. Not right. Just, like, over
they
the
were singing that, their notes, that for was sure. Really cool. Yeah.
And they came out a lot, like, in that section.
Yeah. Right. The monkeys where we were. And stuff. Yeah.
No, and, like, I the think like, Glinda was there for something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially at the end. Hey. Yeah.
Some of this merch for Suffs says Great American Bitch. Like, sign me up.
Something better about than... I get that they were trying to say suffragettes, but that's too long. But Suffs, I don't know. It's like just,
it's a little hard to say.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
I will say I was. This is like cute merch. Like you could wear this and like have it be pretty subtle.
Oh, really? Maybe. That's good.
Some of it sort of just looks like a college logo tee or something.
Yeah.
But I was very disappointed with the Wicked. I really thought I was going to buy something.
What did you think? Like a t-shirt?
I don't know. I didn't really have something in mind, but it was all just like way too like Wicked.
I'm wondering if for the movie, you know, because movie merch has become such a big thing now, the Dune popcorn bucket, Barbie, like all that kind of stuff.
Oh, like, yeah, like at the theater.
I'm wondering what they'll have at AMC and stuff for Wicked. Like,
let me tell you, I bought a lot of Dune 2 merch, like decked head to toe.
Oh, I was like, did you really?
No.
I actually did ask for the popcorn bucket just to have it, but they were sold out already, the worm bucket.
Are you serious? It's like shape of the worm.
Oh, you haven't seen the worm popcorn bucket?
No.
Oh my god, literally, like, you have to put your hand through the teeth.
Oh, to get that is the popcorn. So disgusting.
Yeah. Wait. And then people were
I don't ever go to AMC theaters.
Oh, okay. So they have them at like Cinemark, everywhere they're getting on that people will like buy shit.
I hate that so much. That looks so uncomfortable, those spikes.
Well, and people are putting that on top of the Taylor Swift popcorn bucket, and it's like...
Why?
I don't know.
That's so weird. It's like a vagina.
Well, here's the thing. We do have two Beyonce popcorn tins now, and to be honest with you, I'm not sure what we're going to do with them.
Like, what are you... Yeah.
Like,
is that going to make it to your next place? Or
that is going to be an interesting situation. What makes it to our next place? Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Little clean out. You're going to have to get on that, actually.
What'd you say?
You're going to have to get on that.
Mm-hmm. It's coming up a couple months. I know. I need to start doing a Marie Kondo, like throwing away stuff and giving away clothes and stuff.
Donation bags.
Instead, guess what? I'm just buying more shit to be in here. Yeah, why not? So it's fine.
Love it.
Anyway, the other movie merch was like the Mean Girls. They had the Burn Book popcorn bucket.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, I wonder, AMC. Like, where is an AMC theater in Pittsburgh?
Stubbs List, Nicole Kidman.
Oh, the one at the waterfront is AMC.
That's a nice one where you can go upstairs and stuff. I always thought that one was so fancy growing up. Like, whoa, we're going to the fancy.
Oh, yeah, that was like the, what was it called? It wasn't an AMC back then.
No, it was something else.
It had some name and it was like a big deal to go there, I feel like.
It felt like you were going to the movies in a Cheesecake Factory and it was like somehow like so fancy. Meanwhile, it's literally right next door to Sandcastle Water Park. Like,
I just heard, sorry, this is like the most unfocused podcast, but... As a kid, like the whole waterfront area, just like going to Myrtle Beach every year, I always thought the waterfront area felt like you were at like Broadway at the beach. Or, like,
You're like, kidding.
Has like a similar vibe with all the like outdoor shops. And so I always like, I'm like, can we please go to the waterfront? And then my mom's like, people get shot there. I'm like,
okay. Oh my God. Jesus fucking Christ in heaven. You know what? I have something to say about boomers. When did you all become so scared of everything? Jesus Christ, in heaven, you're scared of everything. And you're the ones who want your guns. Johnny, get your guns. So what do you want? You can't have it both ways here, folks. Oh, it's so dangerous. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
And then you have things like an earthquake. Literally in the middle of the day
in
New York City.
Natural, crazy natural disasters and phenomenon.
Right. what was I trying to think of? Palamalu.
Oh my God.
What was I going to say? Okay, I saw this really funny TikTok where they said, imagine if Carrie Bradshaw like had felt an earthquake. Like, oh my God. And just like that, you know, I was thinking about the rocky, like rough terrain that Big and I are on, or like, and just like that, like Big rocked my world with a 4.3 earthquake or something like that.
Oh my God. I just imagine her like sitting at her laptop, like staring out the window, and then all of a sudden it starts. And you know, she like how she screams.
Oh, she would be so dramatic about it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then she would be like all frazzled, walk into brunch and be like, oh my God, did you guys feel that? Like, oh my God, there's a crack in my apartment. There would like be this big crack in her apartment or something.
And then like, how would the rest of them react?
All right, here you go. Samantha would have thought that she, it was just the motions of her having
the bed shaking.
Yeah, like her head hitting the headboard. They were so mean to her.
She'd be like, I don't even notice
the
shake. Yeah.
Charlotte, like one of her china pots would have like fallen off the wall or something and she'd be
like
talking about replacing it. Yeah.
And then she'd be like going to art dealers, like trying to find, yeah.
And then Miranda literally wouldn't have even felt it. Like she would be in a meeting or something, literally wouldn't have even cared, wouldn't have even looked up about it.
Yeah. Miranda, and then
Miranda.
Did you hear the earthquake?
Where is, and just like that, season 3, folks. Where is it?
I don't know if they're going to have an earthquake episode.
That would be good. I mean, we did have a blizzard episode the last season, so we need to do all the different kinds of weather, inclement weather in New York City.
Have they filmed anything yet?
I thought they were filming. Like, I thought they did see the three of them out to dinner or something. I think it will actually be good without Naya and without Che. Like, then will our extra characters are down to LBJ, or what's her name? Lisa Todd Wexley, LTW, Seema, and do we have any other extra characters? LTW, Seema. I think that's good because then it'll be five of them.
And they're not like Miranda related people too.
That is funny that both of Miranda's like people that she brought in are now gone.
Right.
What does that tell you about the audience? We do not want to hear from freaking Miranda. We're good on her. Thank you.
Well, yeah. And I'm sure like, well, Sarah Ramirez is weird, but she, I don't know.
What? She made her bed in that situation?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. So our first article is about how Sex and the City is now on Netflix, which is so interesting because it was such an iconic HBO situation. Like, does loyalty mean nothing to these streaming services anymore? Like, how dare you?
I was shocked to see that, honestly.
Right. And like, you're disgracing like the name of Sex and the City. Like it's, and the, you know, I hope they're all getting some money from it, but still. And so anyway, there's a list of episodes that would not pass or would not be made today. So maybe we could get into some of the episodes that wouldn't be made. Yep.
Sorry, I'm just open. I didn't realize that was a part of our discussion.
Well,
today,
I just thought since we brought it on,
no,
we might as
that's
well.
Great. I just had to scroll back up. Yeah, I was surprised to see that. And like I mentioned last time, it was a pleasant surprise as I had just canceled my HBO subscription.
Oh, then that does work out for you. Yeah.
It does. Because honestly, when I did it, I was like, that was the one show. I was like, oh, what if I decided to
just
watch that?
Just in case. Yeah.
Maybe I could watch that tonight. That would be fun.
So have these budget cuts, have they made you, you know, financially secure now? All of your ads.
to be completely honest, it's not like a financial secure. Well, the ad, that was kind of stupid, me just getting the cheap version. But I truly have not, like, I'm just paying for these and not using it at all.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I just have not been watching TV. So I'm like, why am I paying for this? It's a
waste
of
money. And then if a show you want to watch, you can just start it back up again.
Yeah, and if there's something... This ad video just started playing and it scared me. He was like, duh-nuh. Yeah, so I'm like, you know, sponsored by Rocket Money. I'm just trying to think about, like, why would I be paying for this if I'm literally not even logging on? But if a show that comes out that I'm really interested in, I did keep Apple.
I love Apple TV. Yeah.
Very consistent in their stuff, and that's one that I do come back to. But yeah, I guess I hadn't been watching a ton on HBO. I did keep Hulu because Hulu and my Spotify are together.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And Hulu and Disney Plus are basically the same thing. No, they have all the same shows on there. Yeah, their own, like, Hulu, Disney owns Hulu, and now they're going to basically merge into one, I think, this year.
oh, so then maybe I'll get Disney. I don't have Disney Plus, but yeah, so that's my current subscription. I will report, I don't know if you finished it,
but Three Body Problem. So what did you think about the ending? I fell asleep again.
You didn't see the ending?
Mm-mm. Oh. And of course I was like, just tell me what happened. And he was like, no, you fell asleep. You have to go watch it. I'm like, I'm just going to Google it.
Well, I mean, I'll tell it, like, nothing really happened. Like,
oh, of course.
They definitely left it open for another season.
Oh my God. Cool.
The ending was like, the last line was like, we have a lot of work to do.
Oh, and you knew that so was going to happen because you said last episode there was no way they were going to wrap it up in the episodes. And guess what? They didn't.
No. And they like start. Did you get to the part where they started the mission, like the bomb thing? Spaceship thing went up and then it was deploying the bombs to make it go faster or whatever. Yeah. It like successfully went through three of them and then one of the ropes snapped and then it went off course. So
So he might literally be in middle of Timbuktu.
Oh, that guy's brain's gonna be floating out. They're like, yeah, he'll probably be floating out there for some thousands of years.
Oh my God, all that for that, literally for it to go off the rails. Jesus Christ in heaven. I'm giving that show my stamp of disapproval.
Would that brain like wake up and know what was going on?
Well, like, that was working. They thought that the aliens would like rebuild a human with the brain, right?
Right, but it didn't make it. So
so it's just brain. Yeah, it's just a dead brain.
No, but it wasn't dead. It was like cryogenically frozen, like right between. Oh. I don't know. It's
all fake.
Very scientific.
Yeah,
weird stuff. But I liked it. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I liked it because it actually kept my interest.
Right. Right. Which is definitely
an accomplishment. Yeah. So,
well, the thing about UI is you like anything kind of unique. Like it was unique. Definitely. Yeah.
I like these like weird, it was like a different kind of, I liked the culty aspect of it. I thought that was cool. And I always like shows that like, yeah, it's half sci-fi, but it's also half just like
people,
regular humans and their like lives. Like I need to have like a balance of that.
Right. And we need to have like relationships and stuff like that.
Doesn't have any of that. It's all
because everybody's an alien. Yeah, right.
There's no like real world. So I'm just a human being.
No, at your core. Exactly. And you want those human stories. Like we are all storytellers.
We are all storytellers. Yeah. I just want the grit, the emotion, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what
there's this new show with Julianne Moore and the guy from Red, White, and Royal Blue, and it's like it's a period piece where basically she like makes him become like gay lovers with the king, and so it has everything I want in a show, right? Like period piece,
people be gay,
people making other people be gay. Julianne Moore, and it's on fucking Stars, like STARZ. Like, who has that? Like,
my dad always goes, I think that's on Starts. Like, that's not a thing, but okay.
So it's like, just put it on something I can watch here, people. All right, let's get into these SATC episodes, i.e.
Okay, yeah. So, sorry, I was getting a little cold here. Oh boy, I guess I'm on my own to talk right now. Okay, so these are as Sex and the City hits Netflix, here are episodes that would have never aired today. The first one is season 3, episode 5, No Ifs, Ands, or Buts, when Samantha dated Siobhan, a successful black man. The racial stereotypes in this episode were not only cliche, but downright untrue. And to top that, the show characterized his sister as the angry black woman in the club as he gets into a physical altercation with Samantha.
Here's the thing.
Have any feedback on that one?
Yes, because here's the thing. Like it was like awful in that part where she like has to go through a metal detector to get into the club, and then she literally has a fight and like pulls hair out. Like But that happened in 30 Rock too. Like that kind of stuff, that kind, those kind of like jokes happen in 30 Rock and stuff. It, to me, it was more that that was the only time you ever saw black people in the whole Sex and the City. Like that was it. Like they got one episode. Like there was really no other like diversity.
Well, yeah. And then they like centered an episode around like race, basically.
This episode, or another one?
No, I'm saying that like they made like black people the trope of the episode.
Right, exactly. Like, it wasn't like they were
just
people.
That's what's problematic about it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like, oh, they have black character. Like, yeah, it was...
Well, and yeah, so I'll always remember when Samantha's making a joke about it and Charlotte goes, oh my gosh, Samantha, race is a huge issue in this country. How can you talk about it like that? And it's like, they could have, they didn't know what direction to go. Michael Patrick King was like, we want to talk about black people. We're not sure how to do it. This is how we're going to do it. And it's like, okay, nobody knows what's going on here.
Yeah.
In all of the dating they did in the entire series, how many people of color do you think were in the dating rotation? Well, you had Miranda's guy, Richard.
Yeah. I always liked him.
I loved him. Yes.
The doctor.
Yeah.
I thought he was great.
He would never have reacted that way being broken up with by Miranda. Can I just say, Doctor for the Knicks would not have cared if lesbian Miranda broke up with him.
He was like very into her.
Mm-hmm. He was so nice to Brady too. So we got that one. Samantha's girlfriend was a woman of color. And then like Carrie, of course, is not dating anybody.
No. Yeah. Barry definitely could count on like... two hands max. Yeah. No, not even.
No. One finger. Wouldn't probably. Even yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, let's go to the next one. Next one is season 3, episode 4. Wow. Season 3 was a
rough one.
So, this is the bisexual episode.
Oh, you know what? People hate on this episode.
Yeah. I mean, what, like, you think they shouldn't?
Well, it's just like, it's such an easy, like, cheap shot to take at the whole show. Like, yeah, it was, you know, whatever. It was like, there's some lines in there that aren't great. But at the end of the day, sorry, go ahead.
One of those lines, wait. So anyway, to give some context, I'm sure most people who listen to our podcast have seen this, but in this episode, Carrie dates a man who's bisexual and can't quite wrap her head around the fact that someone can be attracted to both men and women. And she said, I'm not even sure bisexuality exists. I think it's just a layover on the way to gay town.
Here's the thing that we should be mad at Carrie's character, because that's the thing of it, is like people like Carrie exist in real life. Like there are people in this reality who speak like that about people of different sexualities and stuff. Like that's the thing about Sex and the City. It's so true that that's what people can't handle. You know what I mean? Like it's so like real. That you know you have that friend that would say that exact same thing. Like, it's just a layover on the way to gay town. Like, somebody would say that. So,
yeah. So, like, as a show, like, I don't think that's the show being narrow-minded. Like, they're just characterizing Carrie as being someone who would say that. Because, like you said, people today would say that.
Exactly. That's what I think about it. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. Maybe the wording's a little, you know.
Well, definitely. Yeah.
Maybe they would word it differently. Okay, then season 4, episode 16, when Aiden moves out, Carrie's practically bankrupt. She's mismanaged her finances so badly that a bank won't give her a loan. I've spent $40,000 on shoes and I have no place to live. I will be the old woman who lived in her shoes.
Yeah.
Then Carrie runs to Big for help and he cuts her a check to float her. The plot line of this otherwise independent and successful woman having to lean on her rich ex for financial salvation isn't exactly a sterling moment for the show, even though she does.
Okay. All right. Hold on a second here, folks. That's part of Carrie's whole character, that she's really bad with money and she's never cared about that. Yeah.
And I don't think this has anything to do with like, oh, in 2024, that would be bad.
Right. Yeah.
Bitches still be doing that now.
So funny, that meeting she has with the banker, and she goes, okay, account balance $700, and she goes, I just paid my credit card bill. It's like, that is so real. Like, like, good for you, Carrie, you did it.
I just paid my credit card bills today.
And then she goes to Big and goes, I know you make money into more money, so how do I do that? And it's just like the real issue in that episode is how she treats Charlotte, which is like, I do think it's an interesting, you know, perspective on friendships, because not all people are like very willing to talk about finances and stuff. And Charlotte definitely is not willing to talk about finances. Yeah.
Well, and I think people now, like our age, were much more open about that. Like people back then didn't even tell their friends what they made.
Well, it's because like we're all broke, basically. Like our generation is so much like we, you know, women were just entering the workforce when they were kind of doing this, having these big high powered jobs. So it was like they were all kind of competing with each other. Now it's just like, well, okay, here's where we all are here.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how many. I think we just have a few more.
Yeah.
Next one, season 3, episode 11. Big's wife Natasha comes home early and catches Carrie in her underwear running from their apartment, which confirms she's having an affair with Big. Natasha trips on the steps while chasing Carrie and starts bleeding from her mouth. This age-old cheating trope is overused in the series, and does the wife have to be the one who's physically hurt on the scene?
Okay.
The series of events is lazy, and in the current women's movement happening in society today, it perpetuates the women hurt women dynamic. What women's movement is happening in society today?
Suffs. Hillary Clinton suffs. Like, come on. That is a crazy episode, but it's like, that is what happened. Like, and that's how Carrie rationalizes Big, because Big can never do anything wrong in her eyes. Like, he's never, not, him marrying her, that was not his issue at all. Like, she forgives him for everything, but it's Natasha's issue. Yeah. And again, that's how women, some women are. So, whatever. Wow, I would literally defend this show till the day I die.
I know you're going to justify it. Like, it's not that bad. They're just a little racist. It's fine. They're just
that one, that episode we can take out. Definitely. We can take that one episode out.
Okay, season 6, episode 12, Carrie doesn't have caller ID, which is a very 90s problem to have, so when Petrovsky calls, she doesn't know it's him, and she doesn't even attempt to find out who's calling because she can't understand his accent, insisting it must be the wrong number. I forgot about that.
I absolutely love that scene. I'm sorry, but I really cannot understand what you're saying. And she keeps hanging up on him. Oh, that is a great episode, except for then we have to deal with Petrovsky, that bitch.
Yeah. Not the best plot line we've had. That's all of them. So
okay. I know also
the whole series, you know, not too bad.
That's not that bad. You got one or two. Let's take out the bisexual one and let's take out the other one, the first one, and let's be done with it. The other thing that would definitely be canceled is that Sex and the City 2 scene where they all are like in that market, and then they go to the secret women's market and they all take off their hijabs and they have these like stilettos on. Like, yeah. That is not, we are not doing that situation.
That's
here.
A little cringy.
All right, so let's get into our topics for today. And the first topic today, because we're going to do a little science experiment, is the total solar eclipse that will be happening on Monday.
And it is a total solar eclipse at that, Kev.
It is so eclipsing that people are losing their fucking minds about it. And all I have to say to people is, get a literal life.
Yep, I totally agree. Okay, so if you live under a rock, we'll tell you, you know, most people should know this is happening. Yeah. So basically, we're having a total solar eclipse.
Yeah.
Which also happened a few years ago. So I don't know why everybody's so excited about this one.
Right. Didn't Trump look at it or something? Wasn't that when he was off?
He like didn't wear the glasses or something.
Yeah, right.
And I distinctly remember this because it was August of 2017 and I had just moved to DC and I was it was like a few weeks after I'd started my first job. So we like all went outside at the office.
Oh my God.
Like with these people I barely know, like putting on the goggles.
Oh, you put on the goggles? What did you see?
I looked at it. It was the most anticlimactic. I was like, is this it? Like, am I doing it right? It was not that interesting, but that's my
memory of it. Do people understand it's just the sun going out for like a second and then it's back again?
Yeah. I mean, the weirdest part about the whole thing is just that it gets really dark in the middle of the day. Like, right. That's what, yeah. So, anyway, I'll give you a few facts about
please,
it.
Yeah, please. So,
the totals, and I guess what these do happen, but like where in the world, like the total path is mm-hmm. what varies, I guess.
Okay.
So this total solar eclipse will cross North America on Monday, offering millions a rare opportunity to see afternoon skies temporarily darken as the moon blocks the face of the sun. The eclipse's path fortuitously cuts across Mexico, 15 U.S. states, and a small part of eastern Canada. In all other states in the continental U.S., viewers will be treated to a partial solar eclipse. Oh, so I guess I'm just getting partial. You will get like nothing.
Oh, we got nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. With the moon appearing to take a bite out of the sun and obscuring part of its light. So maybe it looks really cool if, you know, like those things
you're
that
in
shows
the direct
like the
path.
Black and then yeah. just like the ring. I guess that's yeah. what you see if you're in the total.
It's supposed to be like green or something. You're supposed to see like a green light or something. I want it, that green light.
Yeah. So what is a solar eclipse exactly? So a solar eclipse occurs when the sun, the moon, and the earth align. That's a lyric. The sun and the moon and earth align. What is that for? That's a Taylor. It's in a Taylor Swift song.
Is it? I'll look it up.
The sun and the moon. In a Mastermind.
Oh.
Sun and earth align. We ended up in the same room at the same time.
Oh, right. My God. Yeah, it is Mastermind.
Maybe Taylor's going to do something for the eclipse.
Wow.
You heard it here first.
Mastermind. Music
Mastermind.
Wow. Whoa, that's a deep cut right there.
Isn't that what it says? The sun, the moon, and earth align or something?
Once upon a time, the planets and the fates and the stars aligned.
Oh, okay. Not exactly the same.
Yeah, that's fine.
the stars. Okay. The moon passes between earth and the sun, temporarily blocking the sun's light and casting a shadow on earth. A total solar eclipse is when the moon fully obscures the sun, whereas a partial, it just blocks a portion. And solar eclipses only occur with the new moon because the moon's orbit around Earth is tilted. The three bodies don't always line up, so they're all lining up.
Wait, so is this a three-body problem?
It sounds like a three-body problem to me.
Oh my God.
For sure, but this time it's
is that why
Jupiter.
Netflix released it, maybe? Wow, maybe. Crazy.
So the places that are on the path of totality include Buffalo, New York, Cleveland, Ohio. And another place that I would like to say is on the path of totality is Meadville, Pennsylvania.
You're kidding. Well, Julie, my friend Julie said she's going to Erie, but I didn't know Meadville, Pennsylvania was on
like,
it.
Erie's definitely on the path. Like,
oh
it's
my
right
God. Path of totality.
Path of totality. Yep.
No,
so they're
what I
getting
was just thinking is like,
full on.
What if instead of an eclipse, it was just like this laser beam that just like totally decimated Cleveland, Buffalo, and Meadville, Pennsylvania.
I guess I couldn't go to reunion. Well, Pittsburgh will have a 90%, so decent.
Oh, that's pretty
decent
good.
Eclipse, not a bad eclipse. So. Yeah, so that's what's happening in nature. Oh, that's
here's the
cool.
thing. So here's my opinion. Flash. Because they've been putting out like hotels and Airbnbs have putting out these maps of like how booked they are in the path of totality. And I have to say, if you are traveling and staying in a hotel or Airbnb to see a 1 minute fucking solar eclipse that we just saw 5 years ago, I'm going to need you to get a life, truly. Like, what is it about men and, like, weird shit like this that they'll literally travel across the world to see a fucking one-minute
thing? And make a whole weekend out of it.
Literally. Like, I've seen people...
I'm not talking about anybody right now.
Yeah. Did you see... Well, yeah, exactly. Did you see somebody on Instagram was like, they're having an eclipse party. Like, they have all these supplies for this eclipse party. And I'll send it to you later.
I mean,
and, like,
if I happen to... And I'm like... I'm perfectly content. I can walk outside. I'm at 90% here.
Right,
so
right.
I'll get a decent experience of it.
Yeah.
And now, like you said last time, it's probably going to be cloudy as fuck in Pittsburgh.
Literally, it's going to rain. Yeah.
And you won't see a single thing.
That's what I hope to God. I hope that every place in the place of path of totality is like cloudy, just a little cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
Yep.
So what is with the glasses? Can I ask that? You're just not supposed to look at it like right on or something because the sun is so bright or something?
Yeah. The sun's so big it hurts my eyes. And yeah, really, that's good okay, one. You know. Yeah, I think it just like it can damage your retinas if you look at it like actually. If you,
but that's the one that Trump just like looked at it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Like when people are very clearly communicating, like that you need to wear those.
Right. You know what? People at Allegheny are going to love this shit. I bet they have the day off classes. I bet it's Gator Day, literally.
They're going like, to be they're going to be in that observatory.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The security office.
Safety and security office.
Getting
I had to go there for my I had to go up there for my astronomy class and it was too
cloudy. Wait, does it work?
So we couldn't do anything. I think so.
It was too cloudy.
Yeah, I think it worked. It's like a functioning. I think I used to say that on tours. There's a fully functioning telescope in there.
Like, is that going to make somebody come to school here? Like, it's
this
so
is
weird.
Newton Observatory. This is our safety and security office. It's a really safe campus.
You know what I love, i.e., is that when you really like think about the things in your life, like we're dust. You know what I mean? We are dust, and to dust you shall return. Like. When we went to a planetarium last night and like saw all these stars and stuff, like you are literally a piece of dust. You know what I mean? In the wind. Like,
yeah,
all
these
this
are things that I don't like to think about.
Oh, see, it helps me. Like when I'm worried about like an email, I'm like, I am dust. I am literal a piece of literal cosmic dust. You know what I mean? Like, we're nothing. So why are you worried about an email?
Yeah, that's true. Oh, no, I do think I'm like, and there's also stuff that's way more important than my job.
Right, exactly. Like, in the whole
like
wide universe.
Stuff going on in the world.
Your packaged file is probably going to be just fine. Yeah.
You know what I was at? We were watching Three Body Problem, and there's that whole part where he, like, buys her a star, and it costs so much money.
Right.
I'm like, what is the point of buying that star? Like you will never get you would never be able to get close to that star. Like you will reap
and
no
also
benefit.
You'd burn to death. Yeah,
you'll reap no benefit by having that. It's a
and
complete
like,
waste of money.
Right. And what alien is gonna let you like take ownership of this star? Like that is so stupid.
Yeah. And then I don't know, like nobody can own them, and it's like nobody can own the moon,
right?
But at least with the moon, like if you owned land, like there is potential, like humans have gone to the moon.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just weird to think. I don't know, there are just those days where you're sitting there and you're like, wow, I live on a planet, and it's kind of weird.
Right, if you could live in any on any other planet, which one would you pick?
Neptune. I know. Why? It's gas, but you couldn't live on it. It's just pretty blue.
Blown to smithereens before you even like
set like foot impossible. Down. I don't know which other ones are. I guess Mars.
You can live on Mars. Yeah, Mars. They say there's like frozen water or something, and then maybe the moon. But like, I don't think any of the rest of them. You know what? Send me to Pluto, because justice for Pluto. Like
justice for Pluto.
That
you
downgrade.
You would need a really heavy coat. You would maybe need like a Canada Goose jacket.
Oh, I would need, I would need something. I would need an ice shield from my Pokemon
and a space,
for sure.
And, you know, a space suit. Or you die anyway.
Like, what's the point then? If you know, here's where I would want to live, on the spaceship with Xenon. Like, if we can't live on Earth anymore,
Lapidus, it would be
send
so
me
sick.
To a spaceship, because I could sleep like on a plane, like lay down, lie flat. Like, I could sleep all day. It feels so nice. Like, it would be amazing. Just be up
in
the star.
That show we watched called For All Mankind, where they like end up investing more money in space travel and stuff, and it becomes more like accessible for people. They like add on to the station that's like on the moon, and they put like a hotel in there.
Oh my, perfect.
And it's like And it's so easy for them to like get back and forth to the moon, like common people. I'm sure you have to have a lot of money, but like you can just ghost. Like, how cool would that be?
Go for dinner. Yeah.
Quick meal. Yeah. Imagine that.
Well, I hope everybody, and it's on Monday, right? This eclipse situation. So,
yep, it's on Monday. Like, I hope everybody has an amazing experience with that. Watch your eyes. Don't let your pets outside.
Oh, don't let your pets outside. Oh.
Yeah, because they don't know. They'll be like, whoa.
Oh, right. Okay.
Merlin would like run to the moon.
Ooh. But like, here's my thing. Like, what about like deer? Like, are all the deer going to be blind because of this? Like, you know what I mean?
I don't think so. It's so short. I don't know. Okay.
So that was our science segment, everybody.
Thanks. Senescence.
So we have a few other things to cover today. And let's get Ms. Siwa out of the way. How about that one? Let's get Ms. Siwa out of the way, and then we can talk about Rebel Wilson.
Okay, great. So interesting, strange things have been happening in the life of Ms. JoJo Siwa.
Right.
This past, you know, week or so. So the first problematic issue in my mind is the fact that she released a song called Karma.
Right. Definitely. Like, number one, disrespectful.
Super disrespectful. Clearly, like, it's Taylor's most recent album, so it's a very new song. She's still, like, currently touring that song. It's, like, one of the biggest songs at her show. Right. And now she has this. And not only did she do that, it's bad. It's not even good. Like, if you're going to take that name, at least make it better.
Right, exactly.
Which is impossible.
Well, so, here's my question. Yeah. Since when is JoJo Siwa even a singer? I thought she was a dancer. And then now we're doing this like fake singing auto-tune situation. And she definitely had somebody in that PR meeting and was like, oh, if people search Karma by Taylor Swift, they'll also see your song. Like, it's just so, just find
I'm
your
just link. I'm going to Google Karma song and just see like how that SEO. Well, yeah, like Taylor.
Yeah. I was going to say today, probably with the music video and stuff of.
There is a mixture, but mostly Taylor. Oh, Alicia Keys. Anyway.
Oh.
You
know where JoJo Siwa really went off the rails for me? It's not even like the lesbian thing, whatever. It's her obsession with these kids that she's going to have. Freddie, Eddie, and Teddy. She literally has a tattoo. Of like, she's so excited to have kids. Like, she's like, I have a sperm donor. I'm like, gonna have
a kid.
Literally, like, you're 2 years old. Like,
well, I just think it's so, like, she was branded as such a like kids entertainer, teeny bopper, like hanging out with Northwest, literally.
In your hair, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, she's like being this sexual.
Oh,
being,
but it's not even like Miley Cyrus sexual. It's like dry humping in a music video on a beach. Like it's just like, what is going on here? Please,
it's a little weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah. So she released this new single. Unfortunately, this Rolling Stone article I sent, I don't have access to it.
Sweet Rolling Stone paywall. Let's see here.
Let me see if I can find another one.
JoJo Siwa is all grown up on new single Karma. The record marks the dancer and singer's first explicit breakaway from the cleaner image of her early career. When JoJo Siwa announced her latest single, it came with a cautioned warning. The following content is not made for children and may be disturbing or offensive to some viewers. May contain sexual themes, violence, strong language, traumatic scenarios, and flashing lights.
Traumatic scenarios.
She gave listeners nearly a month to prepare for Karma, and then it cuts me off as well. But I really think that that's all we need to know. And then if you've seen the clips of it, it is like, it's not even sexual. It's like aggressively like attacking each other with like these dance moves of like thrusting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I was not expecting that this year. You know, that was not in my 2024 predictions.
Here's the thing. Like, just I need everybody in the entertainment industry to just take a deep breath and take a step back. This woman, she made so much money in Nickelodeon on her bow line, on all the dancing, on everything. She makes so much money content creating. She has a podcast. Maybe we didn't need a song. That's all I'm saying. Maybe we just didn't even need it.
Yeah.
Just don't do the song. She has a mansion already. She has all this money. She does these like concerts for these kids and stuff. Why don't you just take a minute and enjoy your life, enjoy your money, and then maybe in 5 years, if you're thinking, oh, I really want to release a bad girl track, maybe try again then. But right now, it's too much. It's way too much.
I think the essence of the message is to reevaluate your life.
Literally. Well, and what was the iHeartRadio outfit? Like, what were we trying to do there? Clown costume.
Yeah, it was very weird.
That's not even like, you know, again, she's trying so hard to be Miley Cyrus 10 years ago. Like, we can't stop, we won't stop. But like, Miley is a singer. Let's remember that. She is a singer.
Yeah, like a very, very talented singer.
Right. Yeah. And she wanted to genre shift from country, like she was singing country, to singing pop and like rap and stuff. So that's why she had to do her genre shift. There's no need for JoJo Siwa to do any of this.
Nope.
And also, what do you think she talked about on her podcast?
I don't know. I think she wants to come on ours. Give us a teaser.
So let's JoJo. Let's take JoJo from what's her face? Abby Lee Miller. Yeah.
I told you about that.
Yes.
Picture that Oakmont girl
who like knew Abby Lee or something,
her godmother is Abby Lee Miller. Yep. Did a little,
you know, searching. What would be amazing was Abby Lee Miller meeting Tyra Banks. Like, imagine both of them like on the sound stage, like yelling at
you
the
mean,
girls
because they traumatize so many women. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, like their powers combined. Yeah,
like imagine how many, like, honestly, the therapists of those women should thank Tyra and Abby Lee
for the business
a fat check. Yeah.
Well, I feel like in 10 years we're gonna have those commercials that are like, "Were you terrorized by Tyra Banks and Abby Lee Miller? Like, you might qualify for compensation."
Something for sure. Okay, so let's get to Rebel Wilson.
Yep.
So she just recently released a memoir, and Rebel Wilson's memoir, and The Trap for Plus Size Stars. So she talks a lot about being the fat funny friend trope, and why being a larger actor or musical artist is so complicated and fraught with difficulty. The memoir like popped up on my Goodreads or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, why did we need this?
Why? Absolutely. Yeah. Why?
There are some people that you're like, okay,
I'm interested.
You having a memoir is some, like, I didn't read Britney Spears's, but that's somebody that, like, we know a lot of shit has gone down.
Yeah.
Like, we want to hear about that. Like, she has some interesting things to say. I don't know.
That's so, when you need a quick, like, buck. That's literally what you do when you need a quick buck and you're somebody. Like I'm sure that means says nothing. Yeah. I would like to listen to the Celebrity Memoir Book Club about it. Maybe they would have some good takes on
it. I'm sure they've done it.
Yeah.
So for several weeks now, her new memoir has been dominating the headlines, from serious allegations of sexual harassment against former co-star Sacha Baron Cohen. Oh, that's why you were saying about him.
Mm-hmm.
Which he has denied, calling them demonstrably false claims, to details of losing her virginity at 35, her fertility journey, having a baby via surrogate, her sexuality, and even an apparent beef with Adele. The actress has not held back. It's called Rebel Rising. It's out in the US this week, but delayed until later this month in the UK. It's one of the most candid celebrity memoirs to emerge. She talks about losing 80 pounds after making 2020 her year of health. She thought that, or her doctor said she'd have a better chance of successful IVF if she lost weight. Did she have a baby?
She did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think
she has a wife now and a baby. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
So I feel like that's the big gist of it. I don't know. I'm not going to be reading that one.
In November of 2022, Wilson, 43, and her fiance Ramona Agruma welcomed a baby girl named Royce. Royce has just started talking, and her first word was obviously mom, Wilson says with a laugh. She and Agruma haven't quite figured out which one of them will be mom. It's because my mother wants me to become called mama. Okay. So what was the, maybe can we get into the Sacha Baron Cohen of it all? I guess what happened was in 2021, she's claiming that they were like on a movie together, and he like literally like, I'm pretty sure he like showed his penis to her or something, and then told her to like stick a finger up his butt or something.
Okay.
But he's like,
what did they work on together?
I don't know, actually. I have no idea. That's why maybe it'll be in that other article, because we're just seeing today that Sacha Baron Cohen and Isla Fisher, which crazy couple, I forgot that they were together,
are getting a divorce. That is very confusing to me.
For 13 years.
So it says that they separated in 2023, which was long before Rebel Wilson's claims.
Oh.
They revealed that they filed to end their marriage last year. They jointly decided that we forever share our devotion and love for our children. Let's see, a week before, Wilson revealed that the Borat star, this is talking about Rebel Wilson, is the A-lister she refers to as an asshole in her memoir. Let's see. She said, I will not be bullied or silenced by high-priced lawyers or PR crisis managers. That asshole that I was talking about in one chapter of my book is Sacha Baron Cohen. This is...
And then he's like trying to stop the book from being published, I guess.
Okay.
Let's see here. Yeah.
Unless I missed it. I don't know.
It was something about, you know, the Adele part is kind of funny. Adele hates her because the singer would allegedly turn away when she saw Wilson in public, which Wilson thinks is because Adele did not want to be compared to her, did not want her to be compared to Fat Amy character from Pitch Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fat Amy.
Wilson accused Cohen of inappropriate behavior while filming The Brothers Grimsby 2016. Allegedly, he asked her to perform a sexual act that was not scripted while filming a sex scene. Baron Cohen's representative have called the accusations demonstrably false. He's always like, I've never really liked any of his stuff, Borat and shit. Like, it's such slap.
It's,
like,
ugly, it's very weird
that I actually would not. Like, I probably think that that's true. He probably did do shit like that to her. And, like, he probably thought that she had a similar humor just because of, like, her roles before as well. But, like, I would actually side with her on this situation. Now, where do we go from here is my issue with Rebel Wilson. Like, from being Fat Amy in Pitch Perfect, like, where do you want to go from here? Like, what do you want? Like, what does she want to do next is my question. Like,
maybe she just wants to be a mom.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Or do you think she wants to continue her career?
Well, that's when people write a memoir. It's so interesting. It's like, are you saying that this is kind of the end of your professional career, or are you trying to like start stuff so you get back into the industry again? You know what I mean? Like, for Britney, it was like, this was my life. This is why it fucking sucks. I'm done with you people. But for Rebel, is it like she wasn't really getting any roles or anything? So now she's trying to like create buzz for herself so she can get back into the industry, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, I could see that for her, for sure.
She did that Netflix movie where she has amnesia, the high school one. Like,
oh, yeah.
That was something that she did post-COVID,
I wonder if she had any more in her contract.
Right, like a Lindsay Lohan contract situation. Yeah.
Well, we shall see what's going on with her.
What do you think overall about Rebel Wilson? What are your overall thoughts?
I think she had her time and place.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like running to see a movie that she's starring in. Like, right. I think her Pitch Perfect role was perfect. Perfect.
And she was in that movie with Anne Hathaway, the kind of like secret agent one. Remember that one? Or am I thinking of Melissa McCarthy? Hold on. Pretty sure. Okay, let's see here. She was in Senior Year. Yeah, The Hustle with Anne Hathaway. I thought that was a good movie. It's on Amazon Prime. But like, she's funny. It's just interesting when people like change so much about themselves, then they have to change their kind of like humor and stuff. Like, she was in Bachelorette. Amazing. Shout out Dr. Bean, Bachelorette. Like, it. Oh, and she was in How to Be Single. She was funny in How to Be Single, Dakota Johnson. I wonder if they're still friends. So it's just interesting to see where people pivot there. Pivot. All right, Elizabeth. Do you feel like you were more energetic on this episode?
I don't know. Maybe. I think I yawned maybe a few less times.
Okay. Let's do one quick advice column. How about that?
I had
three up, but we can just do one for fun.
Do the juiciest one.
Okay. Help. I just discovered I was dating a total scammer. A shocking bill I got in the mail has made me reassess everything. Dear Lizzie, I, she, her pronouns, ended my relationship with my partner, she, her pronouns, earlier this year. We lived together for many years. When I met her, she was unemployed and she'd had a business venture fail. She eventually got a job and then started working for me in my business, first part-time. And then at her urging, she became my full-time employee. Okay, that's red flag
first
number one.
First mistake, yeah.
Things were great for a long time. My business was growing and she was reliable. It felt like we were building an empire. Oh boy, delusion. My business was growing. Oh, blah, blah, sorry. She had goals to become my partner in the business one day. I was able to pay her well. I'm aware of how this is often a bad decision for people in romantic relationships. It was the right decision for a long time. She was also in six-figure student debt, so I paid the rent on our place. As my business grew, I was able to afford my dream apartment and my dream location, so I moved there a year and a half ago. She agreed to pay the electric bill. Then things changed overnight. I discovered a few things. A severe hoarding tendency in her home office. She kept the door closed so we didn't know how bad it was, but there were ants. Then she wasn't doing much of her work to a professional standard or a timely manner. Wanted intellectual property credit for an artistic project I was doing on my own. I was working 16 hours a day to make up for the work she wasn't doing at her work. Blah, 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 blah. She moved out in May. I took over the electric bill. The first bill was $19. Great. I feel duped and cheated. I feel so incredibly stupid. I let her into my life, my business. I took care of us the best I could. As the breadwinner in the relationship, I was always conscious about potential financial abuse and wanted to make things fair. I made more, so I paid the rent, and she pulled 0% of the weight in all aspects of our life together. I was talking to a friend about it, and then they told me that I was the victim of financial abuse. Was I? Question mark.
For sure. How did you let this go on that long?
Well, sorry. It's so funny because it's like, honestly, aren't you embarrassed to be writing this all down? Like, Jesus Christ.
Those were some extreme circumstances. Like, well, did you not see that it was a problem? Like, Those weren't like subtle things.
No, like unemployed, no money, like hoarder.
So much debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I hope that this person isn't still secretly mooching off of you, even though you broke up.
Well, and I hope that ended the employment as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that was your number one mistake, like employing your partner.
Right.
I don't think that's a good idea, even in like a healthy relationship. I feel like that would be very difficult. So that was definitely a mistake. Yeah, you were just like keeping this girl above water.
Afloat. And
yeah, I'm glad you got out of it. I hope you at least, you know, had some good times
in
the relationship, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, I think you should feel like you're free.
Mm-hmm. And you get your, you know, half your rent back and you can like, you know, you don't have to pay for all her shit either. So that's like money in your pocket.
You only have to pay that electric bill that they were helping out
$19.
With. $19.
It's so funny because when we were talking about Sex and the City, it's like, this is something that would happen in Sex and the City with Carrie. Like, some people are just so, like, they're such takers. Like, Carrie is a taker, right? Like, You give her something, she'll take it. Like, she, you know, Aiden wants to redo her whole apartment, she'll take it. Back. Aiden wants to do this for her, she'll take it. Big's going to fly her to this thing. Petrovsky's going to fly her to France. She takes and takes and takes. And it's like, you, she never even feels any remorse about that. But those, what happens is she's in a give and take relationship. And so it's never going to be equal for her, right? Like, she's never going to be on equal footing with any of these men that she's with. And even if Charlotte would have given her the money, like, she wouldn't have been on equal footing with her either. It's just like, don't you want to be able to stand on your own?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that was an interesting, I hope everything works out for you.
Yeah, definitely. Isn't that so great that people like really enjoy your advice?
Trust us.
Yeah, right. With like very intimate details. Yeah.
Yep.
If you're having an issue, coworker, friend, partner, lover, lover, you know, issue with anybody, please send us.
Let us know.
DM us on Instagram. Yeah, and we will read it out at our next episode.
Yep.
Doesn't it feel good to be back?
Would love to help out.
Man, it feels good to be back.
Two in 1 week. Like, we're back, bitches.
Right. Like, you thought you saw The Last of Us.
Nope.
Total eclipse of the heart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
All right,
all right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media at That's the Worst Pod on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. And make sure you give us a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right.
And we are Kevin I.E. or Lizzie. And that was literally the worst.
See you next time.
Bye.